This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised we all have things we should cut back on. For me half-brother Raoul, that's ordering inflatable toys. For others, it's carbs. So Pizzaville made the extra thin crust pizza. You get the same authentic Italian taste as our regular pizza, but with two-thirds less carbs. Because the last thing Raoul wants is an inflatable waist.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carley understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carley, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster, Harry Neal. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
We're great. Thanks so much for joining us, Harry. Don't know if you got the opportunity to watch the Leafs last night, but I'm sure you're keeping up to speed on what's going on. Pretty good effort from the Leafs last night. Some pushback. Leafs Nation seems to be happy this morning about Joe Thornton, John at Nicholas Ehlers, and Wayne Simmons and Nick Foligno making their presence known out there. Your assessment of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Harry, is what do you see out there?
Well, they've made some nice changes to add to their lineup that they thought they needed a little help. You just mentioned three of them. And, you know, their big question mark is the defense and led by goaltending because, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're going to be in that for sure, goaltending becomes even more important because it's harder to play goal when everyone tries a lot harder defensively. So goals against is their weakness, and some nights it looks like it's solved and some nights it looks like it isn't.
Ness?
Montreal's played without Claude Julien. Does a coaching change ever make a difference in midseason, Harry?
I don't know. The coach always gets blamed if the team isn't playing the way the owners or the manager likes, and sometimes it's a move that really helps, and sometimes it's a move that doesn't make any difference. It's going to all depend on the players, and Montreal seems to be a team that some nights looks like they're a lot better, and other nights looks like they're in trouble, so consistency is their problem, and it'll be interesting to see what happens as we continue.
Lou?
Who do you think is going to stop into that fourth playoff spot? It looks like right now Montreal could be in severe trouble. Calgary, I think, is only 4 points back, and Vancouver's got all those games in hand. What do you see going down the stretch here with those three teams?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen between Calgary and Montreal. I don't think Vancouver's got enough power to come from behind, although they play a lot of games, but that's not as easy as it looks, because to play a lot of games in a short period of time, especially with their lineup, it's going to make it impossible, I think, for them to catch Montreal or Calgary. And Montreal looks like a team that's going to be in there. Calgary's got a bit of a chance, only 4 points back, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 10 days.
Harry, last night Paul Maurice made a coaching decision, which interesting coaching decision. His assistant captain, Mark Scheifele, I guess didn't perform well on a certain play, and Paul Maurice decided to bench him for most of the second period. I understand it was 17 minutes. Former coach, what do you think of here's a player supposed to be one of your leaders, one of the circles considered in the discussion for the Hart Trophy, and you bench him in an important game. What do you think of a move like that, Harry?
Well, there's not much a coach can do, and I think there's a little more to the history of that, not just one play that he didn't make or he screwed up. And it's the one way the coach can tell the player he's not happy, and I don't think he'd ever do it to a player that he didn't know what the reaction would be. And I think you saw a better performance in the third period, and you'll see a better performance now because that wakes him up.
It certainly does. Ness?
Where does the Minnesota Wild's record come from? They're 30-13.
Well, they've made the playoffs 8 of the last 9 years, so in the playoff run for Minnesota is not anything different. And they've got an experienced lineup, and I think they're going to be a real problem in the Western Division when the playoffs start. And I think one of the reasons is that they've got good goaltending most nights, and all four lines can produce, and their defense core is pretty solid. So, and I think they play the type of hockey that most teams turn to in the playoffs, and that is close checking and not much gambling and play it safe.
Luke?
Harry, who plays who in the semifinals, and which do you think is the toughest division to get out of right now? Because it seems like they're all pretty close. But it's, each division has its own style and to their play.
Well, you got to think that the West Division with Vegas and Colorado are having such a great year, and Minnesota's not too bad in the third spot. So I think it's impossible to predict what's going to happen. Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Nashville look like the teams in the Central, and any one of those teams could come out of that division. And then in the East, is Washington going to kind of get going again? And Pittsburgh looks like they're just on the rise, and the Islanders are awful tough to beat, and so is Boston. So the playoffs, to predict what's going to happen in the playoffs, you got to be a lot smarter than you and I.
It's certainly going to be a crapshoot this year. Given the way things have been set up, there's so many teams. I mean, there's eight, nine, depending on which team you are, other than the Vancouver Canucks, games left. And there's so many teams that are battling it out for first in their divisions. Anything can really happen. Harry, what do you foresee? I mean, we normally in the playoffs we always have upsets. I don't even know if some of these things are going to be considered upsets this year, because you're getting the top four teams in each division that are separated by maybe 2 or 3 points in a lot of cases. I'm not sure the concept of upset applies this year. But do you foresee anything dramatically different about playoff hockey this year? It's certainly, they say playoff hockey is different than regular season hockey. A sense that there's going to be any different this year?
I don't think so. I think for this year versus other years, that it's very difficult to predict who's going to win any division, And if somebody looked at you with a gun and said, tell me who's going to win a Stanley Cup, there's probably about six teams that you'd consider, and it would be hard to separate one. Playoff hockey is a little different, and some of the teams that are successful all season, in the way the games are played, can't play the way you have to play in the playoffs when you're playing the same team, maybe in seven games, and at the end of a schedule that's not been normal. I worry about what's going to happen with the Canadian division winner when they have to play a team from the United States in the second round. Where are they going to play if the COVID situation is still like it is in Canada versus the U.S.? Ness?
Harry, did the Sabres, what did they end up getting for Taylor Hall? Did they get ripped off in the deal?
I don't think so. Any trade that they've made, it's for the future. Or it's to load up their third and fourth line. And I like their defense corps. It's young. They have some trouble some nights. And I like their first two lines if they got healthy. But they've got about four guys that are out, including Eichel, who's gone for the season. And so I think that their future looks better than the present because they do have some good young players, especially on defense. And the scouts tell me that they've got three or four real good prospects that look like they're going to be NHLers, and they're kind of giving those guys a bit of a chance in the recent games and in the games that remain.
Harry, we won't keep you much longer. Obviously, Maple Leaf talk is always predominant in the Toronto area and on this station. You've seen enough of the Leafs this year to sort of form an opinion based on what you've seen against some of the other teams playing. Colorado and Vegas obviously are being touted as Stanley Cup contenders, but Pittsburgh, Washington, Islanders, Bruins, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Minnesota Wild, it's literally a casino this year. Where are the Leafs really, in your sense, where do they rank, and where do they where the chips fall for the Leafs?
Well, I think that they are a team that they've shown many times this year that they could be a team that you could pick and not feel that you're picking a complete underdog. And then other nights, it looks like they're not going to be able to do it. But they've made some changes that help their lineup, especially for playoff-type hockey. And I think that you'd be silly not to think that they could really go a long way in the playoffs. I'm not predicting that is going to happen. And I think this year, to be asked to predict a team from any division that's going to get out of their division and then into the second round and be successful, it's a true guess. And if you ask me Monday, I might have a pick, but if they phone back Tuesday, I'd have another one.
Anyways, Harry, we want to thank you so much for joining us. It's always appreciated. Keep well, and hopefully we chat soon. Thanks so much, Harry.
All right. Well, if you believe me, it's your fault.
Harry Neal still, thanks, Harry. Hasn't lost a step. Always incisive, but always irreverent. Always a pleasure having him. Before we go to break, Naz, we're talking about Leafs and where they stack up, and it is an exceedingly difficult year to. You know, there's so many teams that look like contenders this year. I mean, you go through the numbers. You got the Leafs. You can call Winnipeg and Edmonton contenders. I'm not so sure about the Habs and Calgary, but anything can happen in the playoffs. But you look at Carolina and Florida. I mean, they're at the top of their division. Tampa, of course, the Lightning are, of course, defending Stanley Cup champions. The Wild, as you pointed out, Naz. Pittsburgh, Washington, Islanders, Bruins. I don't know if I've ever seen a year like this one. Should be fascinating in terms of the way this might shake out. I did. There's always a site that I check out that posts the current odds for winning the Stanley Cup. And as of this morning, the Toronto Maple Leafs are considered the number two favorite at a 17% chance. Number one, Colorado, 25% chance. Vegas, number three at 15%. Does that sound about right, guys?
Sounds about right to me.
Luke?
This is we're going in uncharted waters here. It's really, you look at the, it's more or less, it's when you play with your own division, you don't know what the other teams really have. Now, if we're talking the Leafs going to the Final Four or the final, the semifinals, I could see that happening. Definitely because of the division that they're in. They are definitely the class of this division. But playing against the other teams, it's going to be a more or less, we're going to go in. They don't know what the regular season held. And you're facing this team, instead of facing this team during a regular season, you're going to have to look at a lot of video and take a look at who they have and what they have. Because you got Vegas, you got Colorado, obviously. You've got Tampa, Carolina, and Florida. And then you got Washington, Pittsburgh, and probably the Islanders. So that's a lot of stuff to take in.
I can see the Leafs going
to the Final Four.
Yeah,
but again, you know, it's going to be a tough road ahead, and anything happens in the playoffs, and that's what this team is going to be judged on. It's not going to be judged on the 65 games. It's going to be judged, guys. We are here to get to the finals, plain and simple.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. A first round flameout isn't going to go over very well in Leafs Nation. But you know, being realistic. You know, Edmonton's, mind you, we're probably not going to get Edmonton in the first round. Very unlikely we're going to get Winnipeg. I think the mathematical odds of that are pretty slim at this point in time. We'd at least would have to fall to second place, and they're 8 points clear now with eight games to go, although I think Edmonton's got a couple of games in hand. So, you know, anything's possible, and we get a diet of Montreal Canadiens for the next couple of weeks. I think we get them 4 out of 8 times. So,
The Leafs could knock them out, Wally, Montreal, because they play them so much.
If the Leafs take all 4 of those, adios, Montreal Canadiens. You know, Calgary might get on a little bit of a run here. Wouldn't take much. So certainly that could happen. But I think, and my sense of it is that the margin of error is going to be very, very, very tiny this year in the playoffs. And if the Leafs are going to be successful, and this is stating the obvious, but the last night was the pro forma of what the Leafs need to do to win, and it all starts between the pipes. If Jack Campbell or Freddie Anderson, I've got to presume Freddie Anderson's, if his health permits, he's going to see some action in the playoffs at some point in time, unless Jack Campbell stands on his head every single game. That's where it all starts. And if they get performances like they did last night from Jack Campbell, then this team, this Leafs team's in the thick. It's certainly in the discussion to hoist the Lord Stanley's mug, no question about it. If the goaltending just becomes adequate, that ain't going to win it in the playoffs. So I'd like to see Freddie Anderson get healthy, so that Keith has, he can alternate if he has to. But that's certainly where success is going to come in the playoffs for this Toronto Maple Leaf team. Guys, your thoughts on that before we go to break?
Wally, you're absolutely right with the goaltending, because Winnipeg's got the upper hand. They got better goaltending than Toronto. You got Carey Price in Montreal who can steal a game in a series.
Who's injured?
Yeah. And you got Markstrom in Calgary who had a hell of a year last year with Vancouver. And I even think that the Vancouver tandem of Demko and Braden Holtby are better than what the Leafs have right now. So really, it's going to come down to goaltending is going to be the number one factor. And if I'm Kyle Dubas, do I put Frederick Anderson in net in the playoffs after he hasn't played in 2 months?
That will be an interesting decision that's going to be made, at obviously, of Jack Campbell at that point in time. And I
not so sure about the third guy there, Radich. The only thing I know about him is he stood on his head when he was playing for Calgary and he was playing against the Leafs. But that'll be an interesting decision at a moment in time after Campbell's had one or two, let's say, less than stellar games in the playoffs, which, knock on wood, that's not what we're hoping for. We hope Jack Campbell wins 12 games. That's certainly our hope. But being realistic, there may be dips at certain point times in the playoffs. You know, maybe this is the 1967 Toronto Maple Leafs. Who knows? Maybe it's Johnny Bower and Terry Sawchuk. I mean, I'm not going to suggest that Jack Campbell and Freddie Anderson are Johnny Bower and Terry Sawchuk. That's not my point. But the point was in 67, I think they started off with Bower and then Sawchuk. Bower got hurt, I think, in game three or whatever, and then Sawchuk had to come in. And ultimately, Sawchuk was in the net. So there are historical parallels in Toronto Maple Leaf land where, you know, you've got to alternate goalies during the playoffs. Naz, really quickly before we go to break.
Take a look at the stat. Leafs shoot over 30 shots in a game. They've really cut down their shots on goal. Haven't allowed more than 40 all year. And in the past few years, they were allowing 40 almost every second night. So they've cut down their goals against, and they've cut down the shots on goal. And they're going to be very tough to oust in the first round of the playoffs.
On that note, we'll go to break. We'll be right back.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Lou, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're doing well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us, Lou. Doing well. It's hard to believe, Naz. I can't remember the last time we were in studio. It's been a long time. I guess it's over a year and a couple of months now. It's hard to believe how time flies. I got to tell you, Naz, I miss the studio days.
They were good. They were good, yep.
Used to look forward to getting up Sunday mornings, reading Steve Simmons' column in the Toronto Sun to get ready for the show, heading down to the studio, and then Lou would call us. I'd have to go open up the door for him, and I hope those days come back at some point in time.
And the discussions in between commercials were great.
Yeah, certainly. You know what? You're home in Nobleton. I'm in my place in Richmond Hill. Lou's down in Toronto, pining for the good old days, as they used to say. Man, love to go back and do this in studio again. But having a lot of fun doing it from home as well. Been staying safe, which is the important part of the discussion. Leafs, guys, we got Harry Neal coming on after the. After the first break, and we're going to talk some Leafs, but talk some NHL. Let's give it. Let's do a little bit of an intro. Naz, we come on Sunday mornings and we sort of recap the Leafs week, and the week before the Leafs started off well early in the week and tanked a little bit at the end of the week. The reverse scenario this week: a couple of subpar efforts against the Canucks out west, but. They brought their, I would say, pretty close to their A game against the Winnipeg Jets in the last two games. Two crucial victories to put them 8 points clear in the North Division. Certainly last night's game, Leafs were impressive throughout the whole lineup. No real, no passengers for the Leafs last night, Naz.
Wally, the Leafs do not look flawed. They're good in both ends of the rink. Their goaltending has been a little suspect a couple of games, but everybody has that. And they look pretty tough to beat in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. And I don't think Winnipeg wants to play them at all.
I think Winnipeg's had enough of the Leafs. Lou, we can break down the Leafs' performance player by player, but overall, you don't like to, if you get a bad effort, you don't like to say, that you don't like the color. It's a long season. A couple of good efforts last couple of evenings, especially last night. It was sort of playoff hockey. Leafs waited for their breaks, and they got, certainly a huge break on the Mitch Marner goal where Hellebuyck went to get the puck and he was going to move it around the boards and it just popped out in the front. A bad bounce, and Marner, ever the opportunist, pounced on that one, and certainly Leafs took advantage. But, the kid last night, Bogosian's out, Hyman's out, but we got Foligno in the lineup, and Thornton. Thornton got pretty nasty last night. Scored the first goal on a wraparound, skill goal. Oldest goal ever to be scored. The goal scored by the oldest Maple Leaf in history. I don't know exactly how old Joe is. I think 41, 42, but he set a Leafs record last night. Overall, your impressions last night, Lou?
I was impressed last night because there was there was a lot of pushback. Winnipeg came out and, like they usually do, they come out physical. They know that that's one of the ingredients that you can beat a good Leaf team. But it just seems like this year, you look at the rivalries that they've had in the Northern Division, it's certain teams don't want to play certain teams in the playoffs. And you look right down the schedule from Toronto to Winnipeg to Edmonton and all the rest of the three teams there. I'm not sure whether Toronto really wants to play Winnipeg, let alone they're all Winnipeg is 0-3-1 at home against Toronto. So, and Winnipeg doesn't want to play Edmonton, and there's so many scenarios there that most of those teams have their number. But I really liked, let's getting back to the original question, I really liked the pushback that they had, even the smaller guys, and that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. If they can keep this up, they really have to get out of their own division. And I think that's what it's going to come down to, the bottom line. This isn't for the Toronto Maple Leafs, this is not a 65-game schedule. This is a playoff schedule. And obviously they're going to have great goaltending in the meantime to get to that next step. But I was impressed last night that everybody pushed back, everybody came back hard, and there was really no extra baggage that was carried.
Well, certainly I want to pick up on your comment about pushback last night. When you see an older player, perhaps a poor choice of words given our ages, a more veteran player, let's try that term, a more veteran player like Joe Thornton. He had a little set to with Ehlers last night. He was jawing at him at the bench. And I guess if you're some of the younger players on the Leafs team, you see a veteran leader like Joe Thornton getting his passion level up in a game, it's got to rub through the team, Lou. You've played NHL for quite a few years, and how much do the veteran, when you see a veteran of Joe Thornton's stature, how much do the younger guys take notice?
It does show, because some of those guys, and the knock against the so-called Leafs, that they've always been soft. But now you're seeing a guy in his early 40s. Mind you, it was against Nicholas Ehlers, which isn't much to say, start off with, but he's just not going to take any so-called crap from anybody, and he's got to show the young kids that if he can do it, if he can back up his action and just show up. This game is not about taking off your gloves and throwing punches. It's more or less about standing up for your rights, standing up for your teammate, and it's very noticeable now that once Sundin ran into Wheeler last night, there was somebody there to make sure that the next guy, that I think Ehlers wasn't going to jump in and jump Sandin. And just even like the other night, Muzzin got physical with someone. It's always one single guy, and it's I think the first game, even with
One of the other guys jumped in into a certain situation. Simmons. Simmons came in and let the guy know, listen, if you're going to deal with, if you guys are going to play physical, we're going to back it up too. But don't discredit us and don't take any cheap shots on our better players.
Certainly, Wayne Simmons is, you know, he's got a certain presence out there. I give him all the credit. I mean, he's you know, he's got a glare. You know, you do something that irritates, or, you know, he's going to come and defend his teammates. He certainly makes his presence known. And I said that at the beginning of the season, that kind of leadership is invaluable. Now we've got Nick Foligno. I think captain of the Blue Jackets 6 or 8 years. I'm not sure, Naz. Certainly, he brings some leadership. Let's talk about the kid a little bit. The kid at number 38. I mean, the criticism. I mean, this kid's killed. Rasmus Sundin is the player I'm talking about. Criticism for him, I guess, up until last night was his ability to play a physical game. He's certainly got all the tools. He's a cerebral hockey player. He's certainly got some skill. There's no question about that. Always the concern was size and being able to play in the corners and be a, sort of a bit of a physical presence on the defense. Nessa. He certainly made his presence known out there last night. God bless him. He looked pretty good, Ness. Rasmus.
He's a pretty smart player. He's very skilled, and I'm impressed by him. He's really grown in the past couple of years. I don't think you can take him out of the lineup if he keeps playing like this.
No, if he plays like he did last night, no, I can't see taking him out of the lineup. We'll see. You know, we'll certainly see if he can keep that going. Love to see him. I mean, if he's able to play at that level, and not that he's ever going to be a physical presence on the ice. I don't think that's the point. But if he can handle himself physically and go in the corners and not get pushed around, he's certainly got some talent. And if, as you say, Naz, pretty cerebral hockey player. That would certainly be a feather in Kyle Dubas's cap if Sandin can step up and continue to play at that level. I thought they'd miss Bogosian. Bogosian's played very well, filled his role perfectly in terms of what was expected of him. He's gone down for a month, I believe. Hyman is down, but a few of the other guys stepped up last night, Lou.
Listen, I think that's what Dubas' plan was at the trade deadline, and to go out and get depth, because if Sundin doesn't come in, or Sandin doesn't come in and play to the standards that they are expecting them, then they just got one more defenseman that's going to come into line with, I think, with Ben Hutton.
And Hutton hasn't even played yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more or less, it's like the mentality of, I'm going to bring this up, the Alabama Crimson Tide, next player up. Right? And that's what it is. And listen, I went through it most of my career that I knew, and I think that was the problem back then, is that we were too scared to get hurt, because if a guy coming up from the minors would come in and take our job, we would go down to the minors. So it's just one of those things that when you're given the opportunity, you prove to them that you belong, whether it's a third, second, first line role. And a perfect example is Gatchilnuk. He's come into this organization and played the way he has when he was first drafted with Montreal. Had a little bit of grit, a lot of offensive flair with playing with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. But he doesn't back down from any. He's a presence out there. And that's what they're looking for, especially for Sandin, who was a former first-round pick. And Liljegren, if he ever gets his opportunity, another first-round pick.
Yeah, certainly. Last night, you know, when you watch Leafs on a game like last night, certainly it really stokes the optimism meter. We hope. We're getting a big diet of Montreal Canadiens over the course of the. I think we play Montreal 4 of the last 8 games, and probably headed to a playoff match with the Habs as well. Anyways, on that note, we've got to go to the break. We've got standing by, Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster Harry Neal. Looking forward to that. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced the Medium Gourmet Pizza Special. Get a medium gourmet pizza for just $13.99. That's like flying first class when you only paid economy. You're up front, sipping champagne and stretching out in your luxuriously wide berth. Instead of having somebody kick the back of your seat, then the guy in front of you decides to recline his
Pizzaville,
seat.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
You won't remember that Real Space Media was once Real Tours Media. What you'll never forget is how they helped you, the real estate agent, sell homes. Or you, the business owner, show off your four walls. Real Space Media has made a name for itself, creating virtual tours and walkthrough floor plans using 3D technology that's light years ahead. In the age of COVID, what better way to see a space safely than through the digital lens of, what were they called again? RealSpaceMedia.ca. Got a space to showcase? Check out Real Space.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me, my co-host, Naz Marchese. And joining us this morning, Lou Franceschetti. A couple of weeks ago, we opened up the lines with getting requests for call-ins. I think this would be an appropriate opportunity if you want to call in. Kevin from Buffalo, if you're out there, our numbers really quickly, area code 416-360-0740, 1-866, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. If you want to call in, those are the Zoomer Radio contest numbers. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Not that our Leaf talk is all over, guys, but I do want to mention Brooke Henderson, Canadian woman golfer, 10th PGA Tour victory yesterday in the LA Open. Without question, the best Canadian golfer on the planet. Certainly she is, and with probably top three Canadian women golfers of all time, certainly in the discussion, Marlene Stewart-Street and Sandra Post. Elliot, remarkable golfer, and we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge her 10th PGA Tour victory. That may be the most ever for a Canadian professional golfer. Talking about golf, guys, Can't get out on the golf course. Unfortunately, golf courses in Ontario are closed. Interestingly enough, the only place in the world apparently right now where golf courses are closed, though, golf and pickleball. Don't quite understand it, but love to know the science behind shutting down golf courses and pickleball courts. How that is an unsafe activity. Managed to get in three rounds before they shut them down, and walked all three rounds. Probably didn't get within 20, 30 feet of anybody. I think it's a sport that can be done safely. And certainly the golf courses I were playing were instituting all the procedures necessary. But I guess we all have to do our part, Naz. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Is the CFL dead, Wally, with talk about them going with the XFL?
No, I don't understand the CFL is dead. My understanding is they have a potential schedule starting in August, if I'm not mistaken. I saw an announcement this year, and they tentatively have a Grey Cup December the 5th in Hamilton, if I'm not mistaken. I just read through that really quickly. So I don't think the CFL's dead. They do have some tentative plans, and hopefully they will be able to open up this year. Anyways, I am advised that Kevin from Buffalo is on the line. Kevin, how are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. A very pleasant middle of April, and truly I hope the very best for all of Canada as we move forward on all situations. And you know, you took the words right out of my mouth on the CFL. You summed it up perfectly, because I do follow the Canadian Football League. I visit various websites, and what you just said, sir, is what they are aiming to do, and I really hope it can play out. It's an exciting league, and there's some many good ball players in the league, so I'm hoping the very best on the CFL. And one question, I'm sort of curious how the reaction has been with the Toronto Raptors playing down in Tampa. And I realize with the health situation it has to be, but has the NBA been received well with them playing away? And I did watch yesterday's game. They played in New York City. They played the Knicks. And Mr. Nurse, the coach, it's been a good effort this year. And they're sort of like hit peaks and valleys. And he was very confident. I don't know if you gentlemen heard his post-game report, but very, very confident. And I wish the Raptors so much success. The NBA is an exciting league. And naturally, and deservedly so, the Maple Leafs are a number one, but the Raptors are very good. And one last quick comment, little concerned on the Blue Jays pitching this season. So far the games have been a little uneven, and I will close. I'll let you gentlemen comment, and enjoy your radio station a lot.
Thanks, Kevin. We really appreciate your call. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's address a couple of Kevin's points, Nez. The Raptors, their reception in Florida, it's, you know, it's, I mean, check the... For them not being in town, I got to tell you, and then not being unlikely to be a playoff team, they're sort of a little bit off of my radar screen right now. Have watched a couple of games. I mean, they are even, I believe they're getting some fans the last game I saw down in Tampa. I think it's probably gone as well as could have been expected, them being, you know, completely away from Toronto. I'm sure it hasn't been easy on the players or perhaps the staff and having a home from way home. But I my sense is that they've been well-treated and well-received down in Tampa. It's not been a great season for the Raptors. They're unlikely to make the playoffs. Some interesting questions for next year. Masai's hasn't been signed yet, hasn't renewed his contract. And the issue becomes, how are they going to finish up? The big Raptors issue appears to be now, how are they going to finish up? The question is, what is their record going to be? They actually do have a shot, perhaps, at what they call a play-in playoff game. They're not completely out of it. But then the other aspect is, if they fall in the standings, then they may end up with a lottery pick, right? So no professional athlete will go out and deliberately not try his best. I would suggest 99% of professional athletes will not tank a game on purpose. But Raptors are in a sort of a no man's land right now. Naz?
Raptors are out because the Wizards are playing so well. They're two games ahead of them with 10 games left. It's going to be very tough. And they have a really tough schedule in the last 10 games. Yes. They should throw out the season because it's hard to play 72 road games, Wally. And yeah, I think the Raptor fans are expecting a better things next year. Hopefully they'll be here again.
Yeah, I don't get a sense of, I mean, we're thrilled with what the Raptors have achieved in the last few years. We're, you know, this is, for lack of a better term, a throwaway season. Hate to use that term, but I don't think there's significant disappointment in Raptors land. We understand the challenges, you know, losing, at the end of last season, Gasol and Ibaka, certainly, and then not being able to play, you know, any, for lack of a better term, home games, even though if the game's in Canada, you can't have any fans. But, you know, there's a certain level that comes from being at home, and, you know, it's been a challenging season. So certainly we're not here to criticize. We're here to be thankful for the great performances of the last few years. And, you know, we're going to build, and, you know, hopefully we turn it around next year. And I think Masai is if not the best basketball executive, pretty close to it. He's been instrumental in the success of the Toronto Raptors over the last 7-8 years, or however long it's been since he came here. And it would be really nice to see his signature on another contract for him to stay here and commit to the Raptors' future. Lou?
You're right there, Wally. You know, they've done a great job, especially down in Tampa. When you're down there for a long period of time, it more or less you kind of settle in. I think the families have all settled in. The weather is nice and warm. But again, it's never like Toronto, because the backing that the Raptors have gotten in this city is just totally unbelievable. Everywhere you go, there's Raptors paraphernalia. People are wearing Raptors stuff, and I would imagine that's the one thing that they really miss is the 18 to 20,000 screaming people that come to every game and make them go.
Anyways, probably have time for another quick call if you're inclined. Toll free 1-866-740-4740, 416-360-0740. So, item that came up last night, I noticed it checking some of the reports this morning, and I think it's important enough that I'd certainly like to. I mean, you hear all these cynical stories about professional athletes being overpaid, and you know now they're even getting criticized, some of them, for their political opinions, and certainly don't want to get into that debate. But sometimes professional athletes get criticized for their egos and for their selfishness. And I think when we have an opportunity to call out athletes for the good that they are doing, then I think it's appropriate to do that. And this is a story that came out last night on Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot Friedman broke it, and it's been confirmed from other sources. Jason Spezza, the Toronto Maple Leaf, who looked around and said, some of my brethren in the American Hockey League are facing some challenges right now because they're shut down and they're not making the salary. So he's led an effort to pool money amongst some of the well-compensated Toronto Maple Leaf players, and they really didn't want to go public with this, and John Tavares was kind of surprised by it. They were trying to keep it to themselves, but good for them. Good for the Toronto Maple Leafs leadership. Good for some of their players that they've taken an initiative to look around and say, you know what, guys, we're doing okay. We're getting paid. We've got, and interesting about Jason Spezza, he's at league minimum, but he's done well during his career. And I guess he felt an obligation to give back a little bit. So they've led an effort to raise some money to help out some of the Toronto Marley AHL players. And, you know, we get the opportunity to criticize professional athletes. Man, I just think it's important that we give pats on the back when they're well-deserved. So Jason Spezza and the other Toronto Maple Leafs who are involved in this, congratulations to you. It's a wonderful effort. It's wonderful leadership, and It's about all I can say about that, Naz. But I mean, love to see. And I know, and I don't want to be critical of professional athletes. So many of them do so much good in some of their communities, no question. But we get an opportunity like this one to mention it on the air. Why not, Naz?
Yeah, what a great gesture that is. Very impressive, Spezza. He's been all that the Leafs could ask for in the time he's played here since his career is ending here. He's going to be very, very important in the playoffs.
Yeah, he certainly certainly will. He's dynamite on the face-offs, and his nickname is Vintage. Lou, former NHL player, you see leadership like this. Your thoughts?
You know, it was great that NHL players are finally starting to speak up, because they look at all the other sports, and a lot of players that come to the forefront, they speak their mind. Sometimes they get criticized for it, but at least it's nice to see that it's about time that the players in the National Hockey League start stepping forward and really saying what's on their mind instead of what is supposedly scripted by certain and a lot of organizations.
Yeah, certainly this effort was not scripted. It was an initiative, from the reports say, from Jason Spezza. And we get into the concept of professional athletes. Yeah, you mean that was one of the, you know, we chatted with Brian Burke on the air a couple of times, and that was one of the thoughts that he thought it was so important whenever he was a general manager involved in a franchise. He always thought it important that his players take part in the community, take part in all the efforts to improve things in the community. In today's world, obviously, they have to be careful what they say. Everything is micro-analyzed to the nth degree, so a lot of them are very careful, and I don't blame them. But when you got an opportunity, and they have a platform, you know, the people sit up and take note of what they do. People, you know, they show up. I mean, you know, they show up at Sick Children's Hospital, and they make a couple of kids smile. That in a way that other people, you know, Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner, and you know, I've seen their faces around at a lot of charitable events. It's important, and they can do so much good. And to Jason Spezza, John Tavares, and some of the other Leafs, they didn't want it made public. We don't know exactly who was involved, but whoever was involved, our thanks. Good work. Fantastic stuff. Guys, we only have a few minutes left.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Who did the Leafs trade in 1991 to get Mike Foligno?
Who did the Leafs trade to get Mike Foligno? Who was he playing for? Who was he playing
okay,
for?
You know what?
I want Louis to answer.
Wally.
Yeah.
Stop it right there, okay?
What? Don't tell me it was Lou Franceschetti.
Yes. Okay.
Why are we stopping it right there? It's just
because I want to talk about something that's going on big this weekend or this week.
What's going on?
The NFL draft.
Okay, I know. I have it next on my list, actually, but we only got 2 minutes left. So, Lou, you have the platform. You got a minute.
I don't want the platform. I want to know what you guys think of what's going to happen with the third and fourth pick there with San Francisco. I know what I'd like to see happen, but listen, there's going to be about six guys from Alabama going in the first round anyway.
Okay,
so,
Lou, don't make us hold our breath here. You said you like to see happen. So tell us.
Well, no, it's just that. That San Francisco pick is going to be up in the air on whether they're going to go for Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields.
And you're conceding number one, Trevor Lawrence, to Jacksonville, obviously, and number two,
Trevor Zach. Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to go 1-2.
Are going to go 1-2, and you don't think Justin Fields is going to go number three?
Not from the reports I'm reading right now. Obviously, he's got that. He's got a medical condition with epilepsy, and his workouts weren't as great as people had made him out to be. And again, these are rumors that are spread by certain people in the NFL. And he's got bad working habits.
Anyways, we'll may have an opportunity to discuss that one next week. And the NFL draft's coming up the end of this week, April 29th to May the 1st. Now, guys, we've got about 25 seconds left. I'm going to go around really, really quickly. Really quickly. MVP, Austin Matthews. Where is he? Where is he in the mix?
Has to be Connor McDavid. He's having a great year. I like Austin, and I preached for him all year, but I think it's going to be Connor McDavid.
Lou?
I like Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, interesting choice. Interesting choice. I like Connor McDavid. I like MacKinnon, too, and I like Austin Matthews, number three. We'll see what happens. To all our listeners, stay safe, please. Be well. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thanks for listening in. We appreciate it.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.